Hi, my name is Lisa Feigenbaum, and I'm here with my Simpsons brother, Bart. We're here to talk about .NET and the managed languages that are supported on .NET. My background is I'm on the Visual Studio Languages team. I've actually been with Visual Basic for the majority of my time at Microsoft. I've been here for about 4 years. And I've worked primarily on the editor and debugger, features like IntelliSense, code snippets, edit and continue. I was also with the team as we developed Link. That was very exciting. And I'm working on the next release at this moment. So, Bart, you want to talk about yourself a little bit?
Yeah, sure. I'm more of a language enthusiast, so I'm one of the users of C# and VB. And I used to be an MVP for 4 years on Visual C#. And after that, I joined Microsoft to work on WPF as a software engineer. So I'm using C# on a day-to-day basis now. And all of the managed language portfolio I'm still interested in. And besides of that, I've done some projects like Link to SharePoint and Link to Active Directory. So I'm very excited about the things we have in the latest language wave, basically.
Okay, well, maybe we should introduce the language portfolio. Mm-hmm. We have quite a few languages at this point.
Yeah.
So obviously there's VB and C#, the two that we discussed, and those are the biggest at this point. Those are our general purpose programming languages, and general purpose object-oriented programming languages, I should say. And then we also have F#, which is a newer language in our growth opportunities team. F# is a functional programming language, and it has a slightly different target. We've seen a lot of success in the scientific market, people using it in financial markets as well. F# has things like numerical data types baked in, so instead of just comparing doubles to doubles, you can compare whether your value types are mass times acceleration on the right-hand side. So it gives you a lot richer compiler errors in that sense. We also have the dynamic languages, Iron Ruby and Iron Python, where Microsoft is starting to move into the open source space a bit. So that's been very exciting as well.
Yep, exactly. And with the advent of the DLR and all the dynamicness that we are seeing there, it's a huge opportunity for us to see all the influences coming from other worlds where people have done exciting things like Ruby on Rails, and all those things that come from dynamic languages are definitely having some place in the market with Web 2.0 programming and those kind of things. And it's a very exciting thing to see that DLR is taking off pretty well, and there is still a long way to go and quite some work to be done in DLR, but it's already a tremendous amount of work put in there, and the extensibility points are just great. Writing your own managed languages become lots easier thanks to statement trees and expression trees that are actually in the DLR. So
right. And we'll see what concepts we can borrow from that in VB and C#
exactly.
As well.
Yep. So, and yes, for example, for Link, we already have those things quite built into the language, like expression trees are one of the core glue points there in VB9.0 and C#3.0. And with statement trees, we can take that one step further, and it remains to be seen where it will go, but definitely lots of opportunities there.
Yeah, certainly. Great. Well, you also work on the WPF team. Do you want to talk a little bit about what's going on there and when people should be using WPF, when they should be using WinForms still?
Oh, yeah. So WPF is really about the future of defining UIs. And one of the nice things we have there is the total separation of the UI definition versus the code definition, thanks to the use of XAML, the extensible application markup language. And having that allows you to separate the two worlds quite nicely. So you have the developers who care about code, and you have designers who use expression tools inside our expression suite of products in order to design the UI on top of that. And the two things are totally separated from each other. Along a different line, we also have Silverlight, which is about reusing the same paradigms that you have in WPF, but applied to web programming. So that's a fantastic thing, that you are just able to take a XAML definition that's working on a desktop application and move it to a web application or vice versa, using the same code base, basically. Now, when to use WPF versus Windows Forms is one of the things we hear quite a lot. And the answer is not kind of black and white. WPF is still growing as a line of business application platform. So we're working on a ribbon control, we're working on a data grid control that will be available later this year in CTP forms and will be released eventually as well. But at the same time, there is a tremendous ecosystem around creating new controls for WPF, so that's definitely growing. And when it's about line of business applications, still lots of people use Windows Forms. And the answer is not kind of black or white. You don't have to go all the way WPF if you've already significant investment in Windows Forms controls and vice versa. If you have some great controls in WPF, you can host them in Windows Forms as well, thanks to the interop mechanisms that we have. So there's certainly a smooth transition path if you want to go down the route of having some compelling UI inside your application. Well, WPF is the way to go, but you don't have to throw away all the existing investments, actually.
Yeah, that also, it actually reminds me of a similar answer that we have for another hot question that we get about, you know, when should we migrate VB6 apps to .NET, and,
yep,
and how should we do that migration? And currently we are taking the stance that, you know, I think at one point we had pushed just migrate everything, but mm-hmm. now there really are a lot of very good techniques where you can just migrate a portion of your app and use COM Interop, maybe migrate the UI layer and keep the back end on VB6, and that's a good way to keep your app in a running state without taking, you know, a year of investment to do a full migration. And we also have an Interop Forms toolkit that's available on the VB Dev Center at msdn.com/vbasic, and you can access it there. And that allows you to create new .NET forms that interop with your VB6 application. So that's one way to start using the new stuff while still leveraging your old investments.
Yep. Okay, so with what we have in VB9.0, we have quite some new features as well as in C# Trio, but more specifically in VB9.0, what are you most excited about? We have things such as link, XML literals, but what's your favorite pattern there?
Wow, well, there are certainly quite a few language features that were added, quite some good ones. I've noticed myself using type inference all the time now, so definitely relied on that. The end product of all those features, querying, has been excellent, really reduces the number of lines in your code. But for Visual Basic, I'd have to say XML literals, that's one place where the language just absolutely shines. And it's just amazing the things that you can do with it, you know, what you might not have expected before. I just gave a talk yesterday and we were looking at how you can use XML literals with the new OpenOffice XML format in 2007. Great for mail merging. You can use it with RSS feeds, with Virtual Earth. It's just ubiquitous. So,
yeah, it's a very nice way of expressing XML directly inside the language without having to new up objects and create a whole tree of objects that's basically not readable anymore or less readable than just having the plain XML in the language. That's very nice.
Right. It's very readable. It's very concise. The IntelliSense just gives you excellent support. So you can really work with XML, which used to be just a long string, right? As though it's an object, and you can see that member completion list.
Exactly.
How about you? What about in C#? What are your favorite newest features?
Well, I'm sort of a functional guy, so I'm pretty excited about the addition of lambda expressions in the language, which is basically just syntactical sugar on top of delegates in quite some cases, but when you take it to the other side, the link side, and you want to remote queries, that opens for lots of new possibilities thanks to expression trees, because lambdas can be either represented as IL code or as expression trees and allowing you to parse it at runtime. And so with the link projects I've done, that's just the most powerful weapon that you have in your hands as a link developer or as a link extender in order to play around with the link system and defer the execution of your query to runtime translation. So you're sort of writing your own compiler inside the existing language framework, and that's a very interesting feature indeed, together with the whole link support, of course, which is the glue that makes queries work, and just the number of stores you can access using link is just tremendous, like going to link to objects, going to link to SQL, but anything you can dream of is possible there. And that's actually one of the things I'm talking about today with custom link providers.
Yeah, we've had quite a few talks so far. What have been some really interesting questions that you received that you know, other people might want to hear your responses to?
Well, we have huge questions about concurrency, how to tackle that beast in the future, and the answers there are not 100% clear yet, since scientific research is still looking at software transactional memory versus a more functional approach. But I think with the parallel extensions to the framework, people already have some very great answers and some very good tools in order to tackle parallelism in the next couple of years and going forward. And concepts such as futures and tasks and P-Link are actually pretty natural to work with. And people who have already done some work with parallelism will feel immediately familiar with those kind of concepts, and people who are new to parallelism, because it becomes a hot topic with multi-core, well, the P-Link extensions and everything in the Task Parallel library is very easy to adopt. So I'm very thrilled about having P-Link and Task Parallel library available now as a CTP already.
Great.
So you received some great questions as well on VB, or?
Sure. Well, one that's actually in line with this talk is we've received some questions with, you know, VB and C# are now both used in all the same places. When should we use which one? Why does Microsoft have two? So we've received that quite a bit. And we actually, I think we've gone back and forth on this one as well. Maybe it took the scientific research to, to determine how we were going to go. At one point, we were really pushing for differentiation between the two languages. And then we found that, you know, people in different segments are pretty much using VB and C# everywhere, and the same types of users are using both. So we also found that, you know, people were asking for the same features. So we'd introduce a new feature, for example, add and continue in Visual Basic, and C# users wanted it. And then we introduce, what else? There's the ability to add using statements in C#. So we added add imports in Visual Basic. We've kind of been going back and forth like that. And at this point, we've just decided that coevolution is really the best way to go. And so we are creating language parity at this point and giving both languages the best power in the language and adding these features to both. So so that's been really exciting. And at that point, it means that, you know, the language you choose is really just based on your background, whether you come from a basic background or a C background, and also just your style and your comfort. So Visual Basic has some places where it doesn't quite show you as much code. It simplifies things a little bit. We have things like the My namespace that you can use. It gives you easy access to different parts of your application, but you don't exactly know what's going under the covers. You have to kind of trust that we've done the right thing, which I believe we have. But in C#, it's a little bit more explicit, so you don't have things like you can't turn option strict off, and you know, you see more of the code that is being executed. So just based on your style, I think that's really what determines your choice at this point.
Style matters definitely, and we see that a lot with developers who have certain paradigms that they tend to use all the time over again. And you know, if you're in C#, you tend to use different styles of programming sometimes. And if you're a VB developer with a VB background, well, you tend to be used to different styles like option explicit, option strict, those kind of things. And having those still in VB 9.0 is a huge thing for those people, actually.
Great. Well, it was great chatting with you today, and I hope you join the rest of the conference.
Yeah, definitely. I hope you do too.
Okay.
Yep.